Praise the Lord. You know, one of the blessings of coming to church is we meet new people, new faces. And today we're so blessed to have a sister who is with us today. Her name is Evelyn. Sister Evelyn, yes, let's welcome her. Praise God. Glory to God. Glory to God. And of course, Brother Joseph is no longer just a guest. He has been attending our Wednesday Bible study nights, of course, with Brother Paul. Praise the Lord. And so, always. And so for everyone that's here, of course, what a blessing to see you all today in the house of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. So it's exciting because when we're going to read the Word of God today, and do you know that God is going to show more things about Himself to you and me? Amen. He's such a personal God. And so whether you're a young person, whether you are in your mids, 30s, whether you're in your 70s or 80s, yes, do you know that He's such a loving God that He wants you to leave this place not empty-handed, but filled with every good thing that comes from the hand of God? That's how much He cares for you and me. Amen. And so what a blessing that we can be together. Amen. And so if you are physically able, let's come to the Lord. And if you can, please rise up and turn your Bibles or your Bible apps in the book of Matthew, the first gospel in the New Testament, the first book in the Matthew 9. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 9, we're going to start with verse 35. Thank you, Lord. Matthew 9. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When He saw the crowds, he had what? There we go. When Jesus saw the crowds, He had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then He said to His disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into His harvest field." Let's continue to the next chapter, 10, verse 1. Then Jesus called His 12 disciples to Him. And what did He do? And He gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who's called Peter, and his brother Andrew. James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Him. Let's pray. Lord, we open up our hearts to Your word, which is life to all of us. We ask that, Lord, You give us understanding and revelation that would change us, transform and renew our hearts and our minds, that we will get closer to You, Lord Jesus, and above all, grant us the grace that as You speak to our hearts, may we obey Your word, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Amen. I was reading this book written by Warren Wiersbe. For some of you, you might be familiar with him as an author, but he said in his book, I quote, "Compassion has been defined as your pain in my heart." That's a beautiful description. Compassion is you feel the pain of the other person. So it's telling that him or her, your pain is in my heart. But there's, you know, the Lord would bring us to the next level. So not just mentally understanding it, but He would want that the kind of faith that God wants to develop in your life and mine is faith moved into action. Because Jesus said faith without works is dead. And, you know, personally, I don't want that Jesus would consider my faith as dead faith. We would want that our faith, what you believe, we believe what the Word of God says, and then we see what the Word of God says. Now we experience it in our lives. And not just experience it for ourselves, but even to share it to others. And when we are, you know what? I began, you know, I was searching for joy and peace in my life. I thought that the world, you know, what all the world will offer. Oh, yes, the world will offer us substitutes. But what Jesus, the Bible tells us that only Jesus can satisfy the deepest longing in our hearts. And so that's why it's important for us to know who Jesus is. And Jesus has so many names. As you and I, we would read the Word of God. So many names. And those names are given for us to have an understanding of what He can do. As an example, Jesus said one of the important I ams of the Lord is, I am the bread of life. We know that, you know, in our physical composition, when we are hungry, you know, we have to eat food that would satisfy. You know, there's this, I remember it popped up like mushroom all over California. What is that? 85 degrees. Is that 85 degrees? The first, Portos. Someone told me about that 85 degrees bakery, and so when I went inside the bake shop, the first thing that caught my attention was the smell. How many of you like the smell of the scent of the fresh baked bread? Ooh, yes. Always. And those associates working in that bakery, they would say, fresh bread, fresh bread. They would announce the fresh bread coming from the oven. And of course, when you're hungry, you just grab one of those, you know, good-tasting bread with a cup of coffee or hot tea, and then, you know, your hunger is satisfied. But then we get hungry again, right? But when Jesus said, I am the bread of life, he who comes to me will never hunger again. What Jesus offers to you and me is something that would last. He is the living waters. When, on a hot summer day, we would always say, we use this as an example, water would quench our thirst. But do you know that all the longings in the hearts of people, for someone who does not know Christ yet, they would always resort to what the world offers. And again, I would say it, the world will only offer substitutes, alternatives. But what Jesus offers is something, again, that is eternal and would last. Hallelujah, praise God. And so when you and I would read the Gospels, that's why it's important for us to read the Word of God, like what was mentioned earlier by Brother Nelson. One thing that would stand out is we would see Jesus in action. Jesus in action. So Jesus had compassion on people as he went from town to town, villages to villages. From one place to another, we would see Jesus in action. And the Bible tells us that Jesus helped them all. Jesus helped them all. So why? Because the godly compassion does not measure. It does not, you know, it doesn't even look into the color of the skin. It doesn't look into what backgrounds, you know, people came from. He would just meet people, and whether that person is in authority or he is just someone, an outcast of society, Jesus would always connect with them in powerful ways. Amen. And so some people would say, you know, I don't know much about God. How can I know about God? Is that something that a lot of people would ask? Or even for someone who have, some a person who has committed his or her life to Jesus, and yet we can't say that we know everything, right? We are all growing in our spiritual lives. We start from like a newly born babe, as found in 1 Peter. The moment you and I got born again, we are considered babies. And we always use this as an example. So a newly born baby, what is needed for that baby to grow? Milk. And so when that baby is deprived from milk, you know, nutrition is deprived, so that the growth will be stunted. That baby won't grow and even probably die later on, right? And so for us followers of Christ, one thing is the Lord does not want us to remain babies. He wants us to grow up spiritually. He wants us to mature. He wants us to be fruitful in our walk with Him, and we cannot do it on our own. And so that's why we would always be reminded from the Word of God how important God's Word is today for us. You know, how many of you know Greg Laurie with all the Harvest Crusade and all that? Do you know that the times that we are living in right now, that people like you and me, and would say, I believe in the Bible, that you and I are not just being criticized, but they would like to put a stop to it. Yeah. Church, brethren, we have to be aware that the times we are living in right now, the kind of persecution here in America is not as fierce yet as the ones whether in China or in the Middle East. But there's a different kind of spiritual battle here in North America, here in America. That's why it's so important for us to be serious in our studying the Word of God, because there's a call for us to defend the truth. Defend the truth. Every day of our lives, we are faced with what Satan, who is the enemy of our soul, he would want us to stop, or not, probably even for some to give up in our walk with God. But can I encourage you, do not give up. Do not give up. There's something about the Word of God that strengthens you and me, strengthens our faith, even when the testing of faith comes. Even when the testing of faith comes, our God is faithful. Our God is faithful. Hallelujah. Amen. And so if you have that hunger in our hearts, we are called to go to the Word of God. Let's look at two verses, and it tells us, Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews, that's, praise God. If you see James, turn to the left. So, if you have a Tagalog Bible, it's, James is what? Santiago. Don't ask me how James became Santiago in Tagalog. I don't have the answer. Espanol, yeah, that's right, Brother Joseph. Okay, Hebrews chapter 1, are you there with me? Let's start with verse 1. Hebrews chapter 1. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Is it capital S in your Bible? Yes. So, Son, that's Jesus, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. So who created the universe?
Jesus
did. Look at verse 3. We would like to emphasize this. The Son, S-O-N, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. Oh, I love that. Look at that. I highlighted it in my Bible. So Jesus, he is the radiance of God's glory. Wow. And he is the exact representation of his being. So if you want to know more about God, we look unto Jesus. Amen. And so, and look at this. And he's sustaining all things. He's sustaining us. He's sustaining the earth. Can you imagine? When you go, how many of you have gone to Los Feliz? What's the name of that place in Los Feliz that where you go through telescopes? Griffith Park. Thank you so much. my head should have a label. Shake well before using. I forgot the name of Griffith Park. Okay, yeah, Griffith Park. When you would look at the galaxies and all the stars hanging, see, everything is in order, right? That's how God is. When he creates something, there is order. There's no confusion. For those of you, what turns around? Huh?
Rotates and revolves.
And everything is hanging. And because why? God is in control. He is in control of the universe, and he is in control of your life and mine. See, when we were singing, the Lord reigns, you know, he's not biting his nails. When on the throne, it's like, oops, did I miss that? Oh no, he sees everything. The chaos going on in this nation, the chaos going on around the world, he knows. But everything is the stage is being set for his second coming. Can we say this? And so that's why, even with our pain, all of this, God is using it to change us. God is using all of that. He will never waste our pain and suffering. When we give it to God, he'll make something out of it that we, you and I, will just be amazed. Oh my God, Lord, you saw that. I didn't see that, God. You did. And because he looks ahead, even over what lies ahead. How many of you are, you have some unknowns? All of us have unknowns. We don't know what lies ahead, right? Even what's going on later on, we don't know. Even what's going to happen tomorrow, we don't. We don't. That's why Jesus said, do not worry about tomorrow, because the troubles for the day is sufficient by themselves. When we have concerns about tomorrow, we give it into the hands of God. We give it to the hands of God because He is faithful. He's a loving God. He cares for us. And so fear, see, the Bible tells us God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and can you repeat that? God has given us what kind of mind?
Sound mind.
So even when you're in your 80s, Lord, I thank you, I have a sound mind. Or even when you're young and you have negative thoughts, Lord, you have the power to take out. How can we displace those negative thoughts? The Word of God. The Word of God. The Word of God, because the Word of God has power. Amen. So in another portion, let's look at Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, verse 5. Just a short verse, but tells us who Jesus is. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. I'm sorry, 15. It talks about the supremacy of Christ. Colossians 1:15, it says, Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Do you see that? Jesus is the image of the invisible God. He now becomes visible through Jesus Christ. Amen. And so, so if you and I would want to know more about God, we want to know more what He is like, we want to know what His ways are, what His heartbeat is. We want to know what's near and dear to the heart of God. We read His Word. We read most particularly the Gospels, because in the Gospels, that's where we would find Jesus coming here on earth, coming here in action. So the four Gospels in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. These are the four Gospels. And they were written, and it's the author of this is the Holy Spirit Himself. He just inspired men. And so when you and I read all of the stories found in these four Gospels, it gives us many accounts about how Jesus interacted with people, how Jesus connected with people. What kind of people did He connect with? He connected with people who are hurting. He connected with people who are not just hurting, but they are lost, like what we read in Matthew. They are lost like a sheep without a shepherd, scattered, helpless, harassed. He connected with people who are sick. He connected with people who were rejected by others, rejected by society. You know, we live in a world that is so cruel that they would at times give us names and define us by the way we look, by at times would say, oh, how much money do you have in the bank? That's the world's way of thinking. But our identity, our true identity is found in Jesus. We should not be even insecure. Can I just address this to the women? The world would show many things about how you and I should look. I'm not saying I'm a woman, and I know what it is. At times when you look at the mirror, it's like, I don't like what I see. Everything is like going southbound. But no, it's not. God would teach us how to age gracefully, to accept the way we look. That's how we were created by God. And so, someone might have a more fairer complexion, but if you're dark complexion, no. That doesn't make you lesser of a person. Men, what are your struggles? What are your insecurities? It's not about the kind of car that you drive. It's not about even the clothes that you wear. It's not about identity. It's not even your position. Our worth is found in Christ. God wants us to be successful and fruitful in lives, but the way to be successful is not dictated by the world, because the world has a different way. The ways of the world is contrary to the ways of God. To the ways of God. So that's why the Lord said, renew your minds. Do not conform the way of thinking with the ways of the world. So don't get, there's certain things that might be good about social media and all that, but use it for a good purpose. But never use it to flaunt or to brag about. See, one of the things of we talk about that at one time is the pride of life. What is the pride of life? We boast about what we have. Oh, this is what I have. Do you have this? This is what I can do. This is what I have. This is my accomplishment. But every time when you and I, let's say for young people, you are able to graduate, thank God. Thank God. Give God the glory for all those. If you were able to achieve a position at work, in your work, that you were blessed to be promoted, give God the glory. Give God all the glory belongs to God. And if God has used people for you to reach a certain level in life, praise God. Praise God. If God has blessed you, it's for a reason that you will be a blessing to many. Amen. Praise God. Because all of these good things come from the Lord Himself. Hallelujah. And so the Lord, when He was here on earth, He connected with people. He loved people. And we're going to look at just two accounts, just for the sake of time. Let's turn to the book of Luke. Let's look at the book of Luke. So Matthew, Mark, and then Luke. Yes. Look at Luke. Yes, there we go. Luke chapter 7. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're going to start with verse 1. This is one account. Luke chapter 7. We're going to see how Jesus interacted with these people. Luke 7. When Jesus had finished saying all this in the hearing of the people, He entered Capernaum. There, a centurion's servant, whom his master valued highly, was sick and about to die. So verse 2 tells us about someone, and the Word of God tells us that he's just a servant of a Roman centurion. A Roman centurion is someone of high authority, okay? And he loved his servant. And that servant was sick and about to die. Now look at verse 3. The centurion what? Heard of Jesus. Let's pause. The centurion heard of Jesus. So hearing about Jesus brings about faith. So he heard about Jesus and then sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. So when they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him. This man deserves to have you do this. And that's the centurion, because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue. So what did the Lord do? So Jesus went with them. So what was his reaction? No, I'm too busy. No, he went. When there's a need, he wanted to meet that need. And look at this. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. Look at this. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. Hallelujah. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. And that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. Look at what was the reaction of Jesus. When Jesus heard this, he was what? Amazed at him. And turning to the crowd following him, he said, I tell you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel. Then the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. Hallelujah. So the Lord was so amazed with the faith of that Roman centurion. And what's amazing was, look at this. And how, because in this story, you would say, how do I apply that? God honors faith. God honors faith. And what's amazing was, the Lord wasn't even where the servant was. He was at a distance. And that blessed my heart when I was reading this, because for most of us, we might have someone that we are praying for that's far from us, might be a distance from us, not living with us. And yet, the Lord moved and honored the faith of that Roman centurion, right? He was just, the heart of God was so touched by the faith of this man that the miracle happened. And so this is an encouragement for us. God honors faith. We believe. What is impossible for others, it's possible with God. And so that's why the Bible says in Psalm 107, he sent forth his word and he healed them. Not just healing, it's not just confined to physical healing, but do you know that a lot of people also need healing in the emotions? There's so many things that can bring about hurts in the soul of a person. But the Lord tells us in Psalm 23 that because Jesus, he is our shepherd, he is able to restore our soul. Things that have happened in our lives in the past, God can bring healing to that. Things that have been done and has brought about hurts in our relationships, whether within family members, husbands and wives, or children and parents, or even siblings, or even relatives. Do you know that a lot of people, they nurture grudges? They nurture that. They don't want to release it to God. They want to baby it. No, don't touch this. I remember there was one time that we were ministering to a group as a young Christian, and then there was an altar call, and there was a lady that came forward, and obviously she had a need and said the need about the relationships within the family. And then when the Spirit of God is moving in the lives of the church, God's people, there was one word that was given to this lady and said, release this person that has hurt you, and God would do the rest. And do you know what she said? No. No. He just flatly said, no. See, because it's our choice. It's our choice. When we come to God, God speaks to us. And then when God would put a finger in what's in our hearts that's hindering the fullness of God's grace and measure in our lives, we say, God, I'm struggling, because this is what this person did to me. But I release it to you, God. I release it to you because, Lord, you said, forgive, because you have forgiven me. Our debt is so big, we cannot pay it, we cannot save ourselves. But God chose to forgive us because of his grace and mercy. Amen? So how can we not forgive others? And so that's why the Bible tells us forgiveness is such a big deal with the Lord. It's a big issue. If you don't forgive, you and I will not be forgiven. And so that's why ask the power of the Holy Spirit. Ask the power of the Holy Spirit to bring healing in our hearts. We all need healing, because many times the enemy would cause us to remember what was said, what was done. And when you and I just focus on those things, it gets harder. Do you know that when you and I continually say no to God, the heart gets hardened? The heart gets hardened. And so when you and I are still hearing the voice of the Spirit, say yes to the Lord. Say yes to God. Lord, it might be difficult, but Lord, I ask for your grace, your enabling power. One of the things about our Lord is he tells us that in our weaknesses, whether physical or emotional part, his strength is made perfect. God's strength is seen in our weaknesses. So we say to God, Lord, I'm weak in this area. You know that I'm the type that, I have been harboring this ill feeling towards this person, these people. But God, I choose to forgive. So it's a decision. Forgiving people is a decision. We decide and we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's continue. Praise the Lord. And so the heart of the Lord Jesus was touched by the faith of that man. Let's continue. This is another beautiful story. It's the same chapter, now verse 11. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, And his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. So what do we pick from that story? So Jesus went to another place, right? And then at the town gate, at the same time, at that gate, they crossed each other. And so there was what? A dead person being carried out. And the Bible tells us who that person who died was the only son of the mother. And that mother was also what? A widow. So she's left by herself. Being alone. Wow. How many of us at times feel alone? Even in a big gathering, at times we feel alone. But, you know, when we are reminded of who's in us, then we are not actually, because Jesus, he's our Emmanuel, our God is with us. And so let's look at what was the reaction of our Lord Jesus when he saw this. And a large crowd went from the town, was with her. But verse 13 says, when the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her. Oh, I love that. So when Jesus saw this woman, his heart went out to her. So he had compassion and said, don't cry. See, the one thing about the Lord, he wouldn't say something, stop crying, because he didn't end there, because he's going to fix the problem. Hallelujah. Don't cry. And look at this. Verse 14, then he went up and touched the coffin. Just the coffin. Look at this. Just the coffin. And those carrying it stood still. And Jesus said, young man, I say to you, get up, rise up. The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praise God. A great prophet has appeared among us, they said. God has come to help his people. This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. Amen. It's good to read stories like this, because you and I are reminded of Jesus being a supernatural God. He not only had compassion over the woman, the mother of that young man that died, and when Jesus told her, don't cry. God sees our hearts. Didn't you see that? When the Lord saw her, he knew about the grief and the pain of losing someone close to us, whether physically being separated by death or being separated because of brokenness. Do you know that death comes even not just the physical death, but spiritual death? Death also comes when there is like distancing ourselves from others, that the relationship is broken. There's no life to the relationship. There's no life to that marriage. There's no life in the family. But Jesus is able to touch us and bring life to where there is deadness. Hallelujah. See, the mercy of God was manifested in the book of Ephesians. It says, we were once spiritually dead because of sin. But because of God's mercy and grace, he gave us his mercy and grace, that he saved us from our sins, forgave us from our sins through his blood, and raised us up from our spiritual death, and now having new life in Christ. How many of you have experienced the newness of life in Christ? Amen. I have. Amen. I have. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're someone that has known, you know, probably you come to church, but then you want this. I want that. I want this newness in life, in my life. I want all the potentials that God has for me, that it be done. I would say this again. Whether you're someone in your old age, do you know that God sees still a potential on you? That's why we have given our seniors a new name, Caleb Ministry. Why? Why? Seniors, you have potential. God can use you and me. I'm not 80s, okay. Correction, please. No. It's not about age. It's about the willingness. God, here I am. You've given me life because, God, I know that you have given me, you're going to sustain me, and that you're going to use me for your glory and for your namesake. Amen? And so when Jesus went up and touched, touch the coffin. Where are you now? Might be a spiritual coffin. There's deadness. But God can touch you and bring life. Amen. Bring life. And so we have to believe that with all of our hearts, because you know what? Our God, He is more than able. One of the things that, you know, when we mentioned earlier, is Jesus, when He was here on earth, He did all of these things. But for us now, in our days and times now, as followers of Christ, do you know that we're called to do the same? We're called to do the same. We are called to be His hands and to touch someone and lay hands on someone and pray for someone. I have shared you a lot of stories about, you know, how God would say, you know, when things that happen in our lives, there's always a reason. When there was one time in my life that I, you know, in my workplace, I used to work for the payroll department in HR. It's like I was like a big shot. Because the owners would approach me, I had the big desk, my phone would be like ringing off the hook, talking to managers and all that. And then a change came in my workplace. And the owner approached me, and because the person working in purchasing was diagnosed with breast, she had a health condition, I didn't even know that. It was only when I was moved to that department. So in the natural, it was like a demotion. So from the huge desk, it was just the move, the change in my nature of work was a demotion. And so when people would go to the second floor and see my teeny-weeny desk, and I had folders like this, clerical. And at first it's like, Lord, this is what I get for, like, in my mind, for working all those years, hard work, payroll, and all that. Lord, I miss rubbing elbows with the big shots. And I was just there, clerical, but something happened. And I got close to the person beside me, and only later on, she was diagnosed with breast cancer. And ting, then we know that God has a purpose, right? Yeah. And so when she confided, and I, you know, I shared it with the group of believers, and we went to her house. We went to her house and we prayed for her. To make the long story short, she got healed. She got healed. And now she's enjoying, she has now grandchildren. Two sets of twins. And every time we would have talks, it's like, look, and I would always tell her about the goodness of God in her life. And that did not stop there. Listen. This is what we are called for. This is what we're called for. And she got healed. And she said, oh, we have a family friend who also has cancer, stomach cancer. And so what did we do? We went. We shared the word. When we went in the house, we found this lady, in Tagalog, nakalmukmuk. Yeah. She was there in the couch like this, fetus-like position, so frail and so thin and weak. So we had, someone brought the guitar, we sang the word, shared the word, and then prayed for her. Do you know, right after the prayer and the word, she said, I feel different. I feel something different. And do you know, she got healed. Yeah. She got healed. Amen. She visited us when we were there in the Civic Center. And you know what? She did not just get healed of stomach cancer. Her family came to know Jesus. Amen. They told us of the story, the victory, what Jesus did, not just healed her. And now she can travel. She even has a family in Texas, and she would say, oh, I've been traveling. I'm visiting my family. Amen. And not only that, my son just got water baptized a few weeks ago. Hallelujah. You and I have been called to make a difference in the lives of others. We're not just here to, you know, when we were singing in his presence, oh, I love that part. I love that part when I can give my whole being to God. I might have limitations, but God, I'm here. If I can clap my hands, I can do it. If I can, like, play my tambourine, that's the only instrument I can play. In fact, when I first started holding a tambourine, I was not no rhythm at all. And the praise and worship leader in the church where we served, Sister Monette, don't use it, Sister Monette, no rhythm. You know what? I asked the Lord, Lord, give me rhythm. Am I in rhythm now?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I asked
asked for it.
Because I wanted to do something for the Lord. I had this like joy in my heart that I want to express it. The goodness of what God has done in my life. Hallelujah. And so do you know what? God is going to use us. And so in our worship, give your all. Give your all. Whole being. Whole being. There might be limitations. You know, you would see me. I would sit down and then I would get up again. In every bit of strength that God gives us, we're here to serve God. In our worship, in our going and sharing about the goodness of the Lord. Hallelujah. And so as followers of Christ, you and I are called to do the same. We are called to be His hands, His feet, the salt and light of this earth. Amen. And to use our mouth. Let's use these lips for good things. Let's use our lips for good things. Number one, to worship God. Pray. Not gossip. Not slander. No. We need to preserve unity in the body of Christ. We need to preserve the unity. Amen. And so God, touch my heart so that, because the Bible tells us, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So before we say, you know, someone said, if we have nothing good to say, that's right. You fill in the blanks. You said it right. Wag na lang, di ba? Just, there's something about, there's a virtue of silence at times. No? Even with, you know, proclaiming, well, oh, I'm good. Let somebody else say, oh, not you. Let somebody else give you, well, you did a good job. Oh, thank you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Give God, praise the Lord. Amen, right? Hallelujah. And so God, He did miracles then. Do you believe that God can also perform miracles now? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so as we end, let's look at Luke 4. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Where is Jesus now?
Here.
He's seated at the right hand of God. He's living in us through His Holy Spirit, right? Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so remember in the before He ascended into heaven, He gave the commission. He gave that commission to His disciples then and also now. Remember what we read earlier in Matthew 10? He called His disciples and gave them the authority, what? To heal diseases, lay hands on people, drive out evil spirits. Depression, that's a spirit of heaviness. That's what the Bible calls it. Depression is a spirit of heaviness. You're heavy. In the mind, hopelessness, that's a spirit. Sickness, it's also an infirmity, lying spirit and all that. God has given us the authority even to drive out evil spirits in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Yes, look for a brother, and we're going to look at verse 14. Oh, brother Joseph is so ready. Hallelujah. Luke 4, 14. Glory to God. 14, all the way up to verse 19 as we end. Thank you. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. Because if you would look at the preceding verses, he prayed and fasted. If Jesus, who is the Son of God, spent time with the Lord to seek the Father in prayer and fasting, how much more we? But see, God would want to encourage us in the area of praying and fasting too, because 14 tells us the result of prayer and fasting. He said, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. And so when you are to lay hands on people or pray for people with such conviction and faith that God, you're more than able to bring deliverance to this person that I'm praying for, that's a power of the Spirit of God in us. It's not us. So what happened to Jesus can happen also to His people, to us. Do you follow? Amen. So Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about Him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised Him. He went to Nazareth, where He had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, He went into the synagogue, as was His custom. And He stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to Him. Unrolling it, He found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Hallelujah. And so here we see that Jesus, you know, the name Jesus Christ, Christ, that's not his last name. Jesus Christ, Christ means the anointed one. And anointing means that's the power of the Holy Spirit upon him. You know that you and I can also be anointed by God? Amen. Set apart for God's purpose, that God can empower us. That when we share to someone, pray for someone, the power of the Spirit is flowing through us. So what does the Spirit of God do? He anoints us, what? To tell, to preach good news to the poor, poor in spirit. Poor in spirit, those who are spiritually bankrupt. And he anoints us, and then you'll be surprised when the anointing of the Spirit is upon you, when you and I would share to them, it's like they're drawn. They're drawn, and that's the power of God. And then he sends us to proclaim what? Freedom for the whom? Prisoners. Who are the prisoners? Not just those who are in jail. Of course, those who are in jail needs also to know about the Lord, but those who are bound by Satan, imprisoned by Satan. So you and I are anointed by God to proclaim freedom for them. And recovery of sight for the blind. Blind, not just the physical blindness, but more of the spiritual blindness. Do you know that at times good things are happening to them, but yet they don't see it? That's sad. And all they see is negative, and yet there's so many things that we are to be thankful for. Sight and see our true spiritual condition apart from Jesus. Amen. And for those who still need to see the light of the gospel of our Lord Jesus, the Bible tells us that you and I can share to them and give sight to them. And finally, to release the oppressed and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Let's just thank the Lord for this time and to just be reminded of what God is like for all of us. And what he has done for you and me, and what he can do also through us. Just turn on the light, some of the lights there in the... There we go. Thank you so much. Let this be a moment that, you know, God has given us this time. Before we take our communion, to be reminded of how our God, the God that we serve, is a compassionate God. He has never changed. If he has shown compassion to the people then, the Bible tells us that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What are your issues? What's in your heart today? God sees your heart. And there's something about coming to him in faith, believing in him, that he has the power to save us from our sins. He has the power to bring newness in life. He has the power to bring healing our bodies. He has the power to bring healing even to our emotions. Allow the Spirit of the Lord to do a deep search in our hearts, like going through an MRI, as we would always say, and allow the Holy Spirit to show us. Let the Spirit of God put a finger on what's in our hearts that needs to be given to the Lord. And so we're going to ask the Lord and just thank him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's thank the Lord for his word. Lord, we thank you for reminding us of who you are. That Jesus, you are the exact representation of God. You're the image of the invisible God. You are the radiance of God's glory. Hallelujah. We thank you for your word that is life to all of us. Your word that is able to build up our faith. Because Jesus, you are the builder of a church. You're the author and finisher of our faith. We thank you that, Lord Jesus, when you were here on earth, the Word of God tells us clearly that you are the God who cares. You, irrespective of our background, irrespective of our ages, irrespective of Lord, anything, God, nothing is a barrier for people to come to you, because you are the God who cares and the God who has called us by name. And so, Lord, we thank you for this moment that for some of us might have known you for a while, and we are confronted with issues that's beyond us. Like that widow that lost his son. Lord, you touched the place where the son was, and you brought life to that son. Lord, there's so many among your people, oh God, praying for loved ones, oh God, who are spiritually dead. But Lord, we believe that you're more than able to bring life to them, O God. We thank you that, Lord, your words, they're life to us, and you have reminded us that when the Spirit of God is upon us, you will anoint us. You anoint us to share the gospel to so many. Lord of the harvest, Lord of the harvest, you showed us in your word today. Teach us how to pray. You said, ask the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the harvest. For the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. But Lord, today we say yes to you, Lord. Here we are. Send us. May we be your hands, your feet, and your mouthpiece, O God. That you would use us, O God, to declare the gospel. Lord, we thank you for the many testimonies that have been shared in this pulpit, O God, about your love and of your power, O God, that you do what your word says, O God. And so, Lord, we are so thankful and we acknowledge your Holy Spirit, O God. We receive the power of your Spirit upon our lives, O God, that we may be your hands, your feet, and your mouthpiece, O Lord. We give you praise and we thank you, Lord, O God, as we come before you, before we take this communion, and we don't want to take it lightly, God. We would like to approach you, Lord God, and thank you for your blood, Lord Jesus, that we are able to approach the throne of grace. We come to you with all of our shortcomings, of all of our sins and our weaknesses, O God. We ask for forgiveness. Let this time be a time between you and the Lord before we partake the communion. And let this be a prayer wherein we can just humbly ask for God's cleansing power through his blood. That, Lord, you would cleanse us from all of our sin, from all of our sins, O God, and unrighteousness. And thank you for your faithfulness, O God, as you say to the Lord what you would like to repent of. Let's do that right now. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. If there's someone here in this gathering who has not yet committed their life to Jesus, we would like to lead you in a simple prayer, and all you have to do is just acknowledge him. Lift up your heart and lift up your hand if you would like that to do that. And really know that this would be the time wherein I would commit my life to Jesus and make this decision to accept him as my Savior and Lord. And if you're that person, please say this prayer aloud with your lips, because there's power in confession. And we will come to him with all humility and sincerity. Just lift up your heart and your hand to the Lord. Lord Jesus, I come to you just as I am, in need of your forgiveness. And I thank you, Jesus, that you did it all at the cross on my behalf. That through your blood, Lord Jesus, I have the forgiveness of all of my sins. I receive your love, your forgiveness, and your Holy Spirit to guide me and to empower me from this day on, that I may be a true follower, a steadfast follower of Christ, through the power of your Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As we call on the ushers to distribute the elements, praise God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. As the elements are being passed on, let this be a moment that we reflect on the goodness of God. God is here for us. Amen. Glory to the Lord. Glory to God. Let me just, as we wait for everyone else, because when we read the scriptures, we need to be focused on what the Word of God says. Amen. Praise God. We give honor to where honor is due, and that is the Lord Jesus, because he is the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Bless your name, Lord Jesus. Bless your holy name, Lord Jesus. We thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. We honor you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your most precious blood. It's able to bring wholeness in our lives, oh God. We give you praise, Lord Jesus. We thank you. We thank you, Lord God, for your broken body. We thank you for your blood, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Praise God. Allow me to read the portion of the scriptures. For I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord." That's why a man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time you've given us that we can do a self-examination, God. A moment that you have given us when your word tells us your mercies are new every day and every morning. A day that, God, we may experience, Lord God, your mercy and grace that you shower upon our lives. A moment wherein we can make things right with you, to be reconciled with you. Our sins have separated us from you, but today we are reminded that Jesus paved the way that we may be connected with you, Father God, and reconciled with you, and now begin to experience the peace and the joy that comes from our sins being forgiven. So, Lord Jesus, before we partake this bread, we thank you for your broken body. You suffered and died on that cross on our behalf, that we may be given the gift of eternal life. That because you gave up your life, we can now have the newness of life in Christ. And the gift of salvation, and the gift of eternal life that was accomplished at that cross. And so, Lord, we appropriate this blessing, spiritual blessings that you have accomplished for us. And we thank you for your broken body, Lord Jesus. We remember you, and we thank you, Lord, for your mercy and grace, oh God. Thank you for your body that you have given up, that, Lord, oh God, you died and suffered on that cross. And we thank you for this life that we have in you, in Jesus' name, as we partake the bread. Thank you, Lord. This cup represents, Lord God, your most precious blood. That by your blood, Lord Jesus, we have our redemption, the forgiveness of all of our sins. Lord, what a powerful truth. That now we are a new creation in Christ. And that same blood is upon us because your word says that we have overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb. And so, Lord, we thank you, God, for the wholeness in our lives through the blood of Jesus. And through that same blood, we are now given access to the throne of grace. That we can approach your throne, Father God, with such confidence, we can come before you and say, "Thank you, Lord. We receive your blessings upon our lives through your Son, Jesus, through his blood." In Jesus' name we pray as we partake the cup. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We bless the name of the Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's call on the praise and worship, and later on we're going to have something. Let's call on the praise and worship as we declare the goodness and the greatness of our God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. The Almighty reigns. Amen. Amen. He reigns in every family. He reigns in our physical body. Amen. He reigns in His church. Hallelujah.